Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have a little over 2 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure that it is on mine. I've got all your requests. We won't get to them all tonight, but we hopefully will this week. We'll get to as many as we can. 888-876-5593-8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. And for some reason, I got another flurry of emails today about people falling for scams. And you know, occasionally I can see one of these and I can say, man, I can see how someone would fall for that. On the other hand, there are some that I say to myself, are these people out of their ever-loving minds? Now, I bring this up again because, you know, we've been talking about data breaches in the last couple of years, and some of them just horrendous in terms of the information they have on you. So the scammers may have more information than you would otherwise expect anyone to have, and that may make you think, well, clearly they're legit. They know all about me. Well, not necessarily. Be aware, very aware. And as I always say, no matter what it is, phone call, email, letter, I don't care. Do not respond to it directly. Go to the website of, say, it's your bank or, you know, heaven forbid if it's another case where they're claiming that you missed your jury duty and they're going to put you in jail if you don't immediately send them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, actually, you can call the sheriff's department. Rarely will a sheriff's deputy ever call you for any reason as far as that goes. And in this case, the one thing they will never do is ask you to pay in Bitcoin. Well, that's exactly what happened to a woman in Tulsa. She not only lost $2,000, she was forced to drive 200 miles to reach an ATM that did Bitcoin, all because she thought she was going to be arrested. So here she is, she's 59 years old, lives in Tulsa. She gets a phone call from a man who says he's a deputy from the Tulsa County Sheriff's Office, and she had apparently been subpoenaed for jury duty, and when she didn't show up, a warrant was issued for contempt of court. And the woman immediately protested and said, you know, I don't have a court date. He said, no, you got the letter, and you have to pay the $2,000, and you've got to pay it in Bitcoin, or you'll be arrested and held for 72 hours. And so in this case, the woman cared for her 101-year-old blind mother, and she was petrified if she was going to be jailed. So that's where they got her. And she was so worried about that she took leave of her senses, is all I can tell you. She drives 200 miles across several counties to Guthrie, Oklahoma, to a grocery store that has a Bitcoin machine. And the scammer told her that Bitcoin was the safest payment because of COVID. There again. And she's looking back on it. There were all sorts of red flags I should have known, but I was just desperate. And the scammer stayed on the line the entire time, guiding her through the transactions. Bottom line is that the fact that it went to Bitcoin, there is absolutely no chance that it will be tracked or recovered. But the Tulsa Sheriff's Office, along with most counties, regularly issue warnings about fraudsters pretending to be everything, including, in this case, sheriff's deputies, and demanding payments in Bitcoin or gift cards to avoid arrest. And even though there have been a number of alerts on social media, and the amount of people who were contacted is so huge that even if 1% falls for this, that's an awful lot of money. So that's the latest. They're after you. Yeah, I know. Other than that, we've got some good news, I'll say, as far as that goes. But like I say, if it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. There was a little follow-up on the Laos alcohol poisoning. And this was a horrible story. It was a vodka poisoning in Laos that killed 6 people. And one woman who survived it told of the tale. She was actually left paralyzed for a while. And she was very close to a couple of the people who died, as far as that goes. And so they unknowingly drank shots suspected to have been laced with methanol. And that's what killed the 6 people. Now, of course, when I read this, drinking 6 shots, I thought, well, that's a little excessive. But regardless, the deal was free drinks. And it was free drinks at the Nana Backpackers Hostel in a traveler hotspot in Laos. And so they each drank 6 shots. And the bartender was pouring the toxic drinks. And bartender probably had no clue that anything was wrong, and neither did anyone else. And they woke up the next morning. Friends felt incredibly lethargic, only slightly ill. Yeah, and she actually, the woman who survived, said, I didn't think anything bad was going to happen. She also didn't know that lethargy was a symptom of methanol poisoning, and got to the point where she physically couldn't move. You more or less become paralyzed, and everything becomes very difficult, to say the least. And she started to feel nauseous, and actually that might have saved her as far as that goes. But the others were taken to a hospital and developed seizures and ultimately could not breathe, and that was pretty much it. But you say to yourself, you know, you're going to supposedly a reputable place, and how could this happen? Well, it is interesting. I don't know how this happened, but what they're saying now is they believe they have a trail that that is telling authorities what's going on. But so far, no charges. The hostel has been closed as far as that goes. The bartender and the hostel manager denied they had any idea there was methanol in the drinks, and what they showed was they had proof they bought the alcohol from a licensed seller, and so the free shots given to 100 people, and other guests had not reported feeling ill, and in fact the hostel manager took a shot in front of the cops. But like anything else, it depends on your own immunity and so forth. And actually, 6, as I say, didn't survive it. So that's the deal. In some cases, it wasn't a case of them making it to the hospital. The alarm was raised by staff when they failed to check out of the hotel. And some of them were teens. So I guess when you're younger, that can have quite the effect on your body as well. So that's the latest on that. Other than that, well, what do we have? I've got good news on Illinois animal rescuers who found a pup who'd spent her life caged, and they gave her new life. Those stories are always good. I like those. But there's one from California that's interesting to me and may have some meaning for you too. When you go to the grocery store, do you look at the sell-by dates? Because a lot of things have them. Well, firstly, you know, there's no regulations for this. Ah, there is now in California. I'll get to that. But for the most part, what it can mean can be a variety of things. So California has enacted Assembly Bill 660, and they've standardized the labels. And presently, like I say, other than infant formula, which is dated, the absence of standardization or any requirements has led to over 50 different date labels. Sell by, best by, use by, and so forth. And consumers are misinterpreting the labels, in some cases as indicators of food safety, when in fact it's not. There's a significant amount of food waste. 30 to 40% of the food supply in the United States is discarded annually. In California, residents throw away 6 million tons of food every year. And obviously, it's enough said on that. So what does the bill in California say? Best if used by will indicate the date after which the product may not be at its optimal quality, but it still be safe to consume. And use by will indicate the date at which the product should not be consumed for safety reasons. They're banning the use of sell-by dates on consumer-facing packaging, as those are intended for retailer inventory management. They don't convey anything relevant to consumers. So that's the deal there. But do you read the labels, and do you react to them? For me, it's usually produce, especially if it's packaged produce. And I've seen a couple things that are interesting. They'll have two different dates, and one of them will be the date that allegedly something was picked by, and the other date is the date which allegedly you better use it. But there are some that you go to the grocery store, you look at it, and it's like, wait a minute, This is already 5 days out of date. Well, like I say, there's absolutely no real standardization in any of this sell-by, and you'll see that on a lot of things. It is not an indicator of food safety, so it's absolutely retailers, period. And so best buy, that's when it's at peak quality, and use by, if you see that, you should not use it after that date. Now, what's interesting is most products, after I read this, I went immediately to the refrigerator to look at everything, and I didn't have any use dates. I had sell-by dates, and I had best dates and things of that nature, but I did not have use-by. So, as I say, I'm 49 states, you don't have to. Obviously, again, use your common sense on this, to say the least. If it has changed in odor, appearance, or texture, yeah, that's right. If it turned a different color, this is usually a sign you don't want to eat it. You don't need a label for that. And then, of course, there's shelf life issues. But for the most part, if it's in a sealed container, bottle or jar, whatever, can, and it is sealed, you're going to have a lot more leeway on that. But the other thing is that wouldn't it be nice? And California law did not address this. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a way to know where to look for these labels? Because everybody has decided to put them in a different creative place. Maybe it's around the side of the lid. Maybe it's under the jar. Maybe it's just mixed with other verbiage about the item. But you really have to become Sherlock Holmes to find it half the time. Yeah, you're staying in the grocery store longer than you ever would because you're trying to read labels and find Best Buy dates. All right, so That's the deal there. And of course, there were a number of people who said, well, this is just stupidity. But the reality is, no, in terms of some products, you really do want to know. 888-876-5593. We got 2 hours to spend together. And your thoughts are more than a welcome. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, providing it has no real import whatsoever. We'll leave the issues to somebody else and just have a good time right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Of course, that's Gene Chandler. There Goes the Lover, 1967 on Brunswick. And Evelyn in Michigan sent me a nice email, and she had three requests, and that was one of them. And she's going to hear all of them tonight because they were good. Yeah, there's an Etta James coming up that if you haven't heard it before, oh, I think you're going to like it. All right, now, before we get to James on the South Side with his 9,832 stories, and Ruth and Gurney, who I don't know what she's talking about, but we'll find out together, I want to tell you about this postal deal because there's actually two separate things going on. The first is if you use SurePost, and you may not even know if you do, and what this is UPS makes a deal with the USPS that the USPS will be responsible for the last mile delivery of your package. Now, for some of us, we just absolutely have hated that because invariably it created delays and confusion and problems. And so on the one hand, you say, thank God SurePost is going away. Well, on the other hand, if you have a post office box, that means things that you are having sent to your post office that originate with USPS are not going to get there. because when they ended the SurePost agreement January 1st, that ended the ability of anything being delivered to your box, because, of course, the USPS doesn't allow private carriers to deliver to your box. So what are you going to do? Well, if your only option is a post office box and your only option is to have something shipped by UPS or FedEx, one of the private carriers, what you probably need to do is find a UPS store somewhere and find out what they will charge you to have your packages delivered there. And in some cases, it's nothing. In other cases, they'll charge you per package. I'm not saying you have to necessarily open up a mailbox there, but you certainly want to plan for that. All right, so that is the deal on that. And by the way, that also includes Army Post, Navy fleets. USPS is the only delivery mechanization to that. So you are probably going to have to, if you can, find another way to have the package shipped by USPS, for instance, or another address to have it shipped to. All right. Well, that may not be a real big problem for everybody, but if you buy a lot of things online, invariably you bought things from China, whether you know it or not. I mean, sometimes it's just retailers you found online like Shine that look like, they're good old USA, Temu, maybe you know about that. But in any event, what they are is they're Chinese sellers. And of course, when you buy from them, and there's a number of things you could buy and at great prices, sometimes you check the quality. But, for little parts and adapters and things like that, can't tell you how many times I bought them. Well, they're not going to be able to ship them to you anymore. And this takes place, I think that it was today, actually, the 4th of February. But the bottom line is that if it's a letter, that's still going. Things like that, a flat, that's not an issue. But if it's even if it's an envelope that is not a flat, that, has your, control knobs or whatever it is, it's not going to get to you. And so, in some cases, and this is, by the way, not directly related anyway to the 10% tariff on Chinese import that the Trump administration has enacted, but this change prevents Chinese sellers from shipping low-cost goods to the U.S. without paying any import duties, is how it is. And, it might be convenience for you, but now what are these companies going to do? And it remains unclear whether they'll adjust by increasing stock in U.S. fulfillment centers. And if they do, how it's going to get there. Yeah, because, if they're banning packages, I would assume that is banning packages. And so Chinese e-commerce companies have not yet issued any public statements that I can find. However, I believe that they have been preparing at least for trade restrictions because the Trump administration was certainly vocal that they would put some on there. But I think a lot of people were not... were not aware that that this was going on. And yes, as of today, temporarily, we don't know what temporarily means, by the way, the USPS has stopped accepting inbound packages from China and Hong Kong effective immediately. So no timeline for that. And so be aware, very aware, if you're expecting something and it might be coming from China. Obviously, you've heard about the 10% tariff, but now China today said, well, we're doing some bans of our own. We're not selling you any gallium, germanium, or antimony and widespread military applications, but it's doubtful that it's going to affect you directly. Maybe if you're the military and you're listening, but if you're just expecting to order a blouse from Shine, yeah, you won't care that they're not sending that. They're not sending the blouse either now, though. 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. And that will take us to James on the south side with his 9 zillion stories. So, James, let's see. Why can I not do this? Oh, here we go. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
How are you feeling?
I'm glad you asked. The strangest damn thing happened to me last night, and I don't know what to make of it. All right. So I was on the air for 3 hours last night, and I never got out of this chair, which is not unusual for me. And at the same time, I had my feet resting in whatever position my feet are comfortable in, which for somebody else would probably be contortionists. All right. So I look down sometimes, and I'm like, how did my body part get that way? And normally that's never a problem. So I get up last night and, man, I've got some pain, just a little bit of pain on the top of my foot, kind of radiating down to the sides, right there midfoot. I think nothing of it. Within 20 minutes, it turns into what felt like the absolute worst cramp I have ever felt in my life. I couldn't walk. I literally fell down. Could not move. This lasted for 3.5 hours. And then it went away. Now, to this day, it's only, 15 hours later or whatever, I don't know what the heck it was.
Now, I've had something like that one time, once or twice.
Yeah.
And it kind of went away. But, of course, my doctor says, well, you're low on potassium.
Right. But I understand that. But those kind of cramps don't usually last 4 hours.
Oh, yeah. One lasted about 30 minutes.
Right. But, 4 hours, this is where I said, what could, and of course, John, who runs into caretaker mode, immediately says, you're going to soak the foot in hot water. You know, at that point, he could have told me he was going to dunk me in hot water. I wouldn't have cared. I was in too much pain to protest. So he soaked my foot in hot water. That didn't help at all. But about 5:30 this morning, whatever it was, went away. So I don't know.
Okay. Eventually, I think even it couldn't. Okay, it couldn't stay in that point. Some point, it had to relax.
Yeah. So who knows what it is? But meanwhile, John is insisting I see the podiatrist, so I'm going Thursday.
Okay. So yeah. I do hope that you feel better, and that maybe it's like some freakish thing that just simply happened, and hopefully does not come back.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my hope too, because literally I was completely, I could barely breathe. I was in so much pain, and it's like, what the hell is this? So maybe I'll let you know Thursday if I find anything. But so yeah, that's how I'm feeling. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm doing fine, other than occasionally that sciatica is acting up a little bit.
Okay.
But right. I'm fine.
Good.
No complaints.
Good. Keep it that way. Yeah, so yeah. A ton of stories. And like I say, when I was talking last hour about the woman who lost the $2,000, who in their right mind would believe that they were supposed to drive 200 miles and buy something in Bitcoin for the sheriff's department?
Yeah, I think what happened was, okay, she had become so, like, she was basically wanting to be there, that she lost, if she had just simply slowed down and just go back and look and think about this.
Right.
I mean, Bitcoin, okay, even the government's not doing this. Only certain entities are using Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah. Well, they aren't government entities. That's right. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. I want James to stay there, but I just looked at the screen, and John said, Mike is a first-time caller, and he's a postal worker who can explain it all to us. Okay, Mike, welcome to the first time to WGN Radio. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Riley. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so what's the first?
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine. So firstly, what's the deal on China?
Well, I don't know the details on China. I was I was calling to tell you about the
SurePost.
Other businesses like UPS and FedEx.
Yeah, the SurePost things.
Well, not so much the SurePost. Yes, you're right. The SurePost has been canceled.
Yeah.
But the businesses, the other delivery services, they are allowed to send mail to P.O. Box.
Really?
Okay. Yes. The post office changed that a couple, maybe 5 years ago.
Really?
Where, yes, those companies can send stuff to the P.O. boxes. Now, they have to use either the term P.O. box or unit number.
So they don't have to be like SmartPost or one of those, or even FedEx Express or whatever?
Nope. They could, any of their own services, they can now go to P.O. boxes as well.
Really? And is that for UPS as well as FedEx?
Yes. And that, now, this would be actual UPS pieces. I'm not even talking about the SurePost.
Okay. Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so that's great. I wonder why, because there's a bunch of articles today I saw where they said, well, it's going to be a problem because you won't get anything to your post office box. Post office ought to be more vocal saying, yes, you will.
I agree. Some years ago, we had to change that rule. You were right. Originally, only pieces mailed through the post office or through the USPS could be delivered to the P.O. boxes.
Right.
but they changed that rule to be more competitive.
I'll be darned.
Because we didn't want to, you know, push people. We even get Amazon packages, like directly from Amazon.
Yeah, now that I know, because I wind right. up getting a lot of Amazon things, and in some cases it'll be in a P.O. box. So, yeah, I never really thought about that, but I guess it would come right. directly from Amazon, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'll tell you a couple other things. The term P.O. box or post office box.
Yeah.
Okay. That term can only be used when referring to a United States Postal Service P.O. box.
Right.
So if you have a box at like a UPS store or something like that, you cannot use the term P.O. box.
No.
It has to be suite number or something like that.
Right, or PMB if you want. I hated when they came out with that. I thought that was lousy. But yeah, the problem with most of these like UPS stores is that they already have a suite number, so you have to write yours after it, like 112-4783. You know, by the time you're done with it, you've got 10 numbers in that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, of course, the shippers cut off the last two just because. You know?
Exactly. It gets very frustrating.
Oh, yes.
And the nice thing is, like, the area that I work in, I actually, you know, I interact with a lot of the UPS workers and the FedEx workers, and it's just really nice to kind of compare, you know, stories of the different businesses and what.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet you've got some great stories.
And they're all good guys and ladies. You know, they're really wonderful people.
Yeah, well, when you think about it, you know, we all complain when something's late or something doesn't arrive, but that's so rare compared to what does arrive every day that it's mind-boggling. And, of course, with the rise of email, there's not much junk mail that used to be, you know, the cheap mail to go through the post office. So that's a loss of income. And,
it is.
Yeah. So,
You know, there are still a lot of businesses that do that, junk mail, and I know we're not supposed to use that term, but like bulk mail or bulk business.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So I actually work with that a lot, too.
Okay, yeah. I remember years ago I had to go to a bulk mail class because of something I was mailing to subscribers of mine.
Yep.
So I sat there for 3 days in downtown Los Angeles and learned all about bulk mail. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for what you're doing. It literally changes our lives.
I enjoy your show.
Oh, great.
I don't get to listen every night, but when I do, it's always enjoyable.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope you'll call again.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
Okay,
have
thanks.
A wonderful
appreciate
evening.
You, too.
Bye.
Yeah. No, they are the unsung heroes because, you know, in other countries, you don't have mail to your premises. You go pick it up in many countries around. I certainly know Bolivia. I can't speak to too many countries, but, you know, places like Bolivia, you go get it. It doesn't come to your door. At least it didn't used to. So, it's amazing. We have 6-day-a-week service, and almost always we get what we expect. And then there are those sometimes. But like I say, they're the rare times, and they're rare enough that, oh, man, don't we bitch about that for days. But in looking at it in the overview, they do a damn good job, all things considered. So we'll get back to James, and we got Ruth, we got Eduardo, and oh, he's got an update for us, and we've got room for you too on WGN Radio.
That's why I cry. All night long I cry. All day too. Early in the morning I'm still crying for you. I miss you every morning. I even miss you more at night. Cause with your arms around me, see I know everything's alright. That's why I cry. We'll be right back.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. What a wonderful song. Beretta Dillard, That's Why I Cry, 1957 RCA. And that was Evelyn's second request in Michigan. So, yeah, we got an Etta James coming up, too, that was actually unreleased until Charlie Records years ago started doing compilation albums. All right, so we are back to James on the South Side with all of his stories. So, sorry about that, James.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, I wanted to get our post office guy on while he was still driving. All right, so we have a number of people behaving badly. Couple burned kids' bodies and made necklaces of the ashes. Now it says charges have been dropped.
And I'm like wondering, explain to me. Okay, how that happened.
All right, well, we're going to pick it up right there after the news. Don't go away, and we'll pick it up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, I don't know why Chess didn't release it. I loved it, and of course, it was unknown to all of us because of the unreleased material until, I said it was Charlie, it wasn't, it was Ace. Ace Records in 2011 came out with a CD, Etta James, Who's Blue, and it was on it. And so that's the first time, and then since then it's been all sorts of bootleg copies and all that. But yeah, that was it. Can't Shake It, Etta James, and that was the third of Evelyn's requests, and I hope she heard them all. So 888-876-5593. We are talking to James, and I got to tell you, James, this story about this Indiana couple was such that I couldn't stop with one article. I had to read three to find out what was really happening here, because the article you sent from the Mirror only told me part of the story. So apparently, this is a couple from Indiana who were charged with murder last fall for burning two of their children in the backyard and making necklaces out of their ashes. All right. So now, the way the story goes in the one article was that, well, they didn't kill the kids. The kids were already dead. In fact, the husband admitted that the woman gave birth to a boy in 2018, and but that was while he was out. And when he returned home, he found her passed out and the child lying between her legs, dead. All right, so they buried him in the backyard. We realized he wasn't coming back to life. Then the second time was a premature birth in the bathtub while he was also at work. And he said the child was dead, and we wrapped it in a blanket when I got home and buried the child in the backyard. And then later, we, of course, dug him up and burned him. All right. Well, not so fast. Now, firstly, the charges have been temporarily dropped. And I say temporarily because it was not dismissed with prejudice. It was dismissed without prejudice, meaning that if the evidence can come to light, they can be recharged, and authorities claim that they're going to do that. Now, the other side of that is that there are those who were saying that the husband had told them that I killed two of my kids, and I smothered the firstborn child and drowned the secondborn child. So that's a little different in stories. They found some email that would indicate the wife was very upset about this. You murderer! and so forth. But apparently they are the biological children of these two people. I had to check that too, because that wasn't clear. And they are dead. I suspect there will be another filing. But what's interesting is they have a third child who is alive. Thank God authorities have taken it. The child never registered the birth. Born at home, no birth certificate, no nothing. So who knows if that was going to be the third death.
I think it might have been. Well, probably would have been.
So, yeah, that is just so over the top. And I would assume, based on everything I read, and I'll skip the gory details, but that they will be able, when they finally are able to get results, they will be able to recharge that couple. So,
Yeah,
it really makes you wonder. I mean, I assume they're married. I say husband and wife. I assume they're married, but I don't know that. That wasn't clear in there either. But the mother, anyway, after she knew that the father killed the first child, I don't know why she stayed there for the second.
I don't know either. When I looked at it, I said, this doesn't make sense.
Then we have someone who just got a life sentence in Nevada. For killing his two-month-old daughter by tossing her from a second-floor balcony while he was having an argument that also killed his fiancée's dog. So, his fiancée dialed 911 at 3:40 in the morning, alleging that he had thrown her baby from the second-floor apartment while they were in a fight. And he apparently took the child from the house, walked outside to the balcony, returning moments later without the infant. She races downstairs and finds the baby on the floor, on the ground, not breathing after a 22-foot fall, which, of course, obviously he was dead. But a witness reported seeing him leaving the apartment shouting, "Burn!" Expletive, burn. This is what you get for cheating on me. He set fire in the living room. A dog was found dead inside a cage, likely due to heat exposure and smoke. And as the flames spread, seven other units had to be evacuated, I guess. So, yeah. That'll show her.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, but it seemed like there was no source of that, because there was another story. I don't know if you got to. It was a couple of days before that, where this woman tried to tell the truth about supposedly her daughter having an affair with her man.
Aha. Uh-huh. I don't know. I'll have to look for that one. But this story gets interesting. This guy, apparently the fiancé had been with him for 4 years and said it was only 3 days earlier that he started acting that erratically. He found a TSA officer's shirt, and he put on a yellow safety vest and all that. And he was seen placing items into an American Airlines van before being apprehended by authorities. No reason to think that he actually worked for the TSA. But that is the deal. On the day of the incident, the fiance recalls waking up to him kicking her and the baby, and how he snatched their daughter when she attempted to escape to another room. So, yeah, they're saying he has schizoaffective disorder. Well, regardless, he's got life in prison to sort it out, I guess.
Yeah, IPF.
Yeah, and it's interesting. The judge expressed shock, saying, "I don't say this lightly. This is the worst case I've ever seen. It boggles my mind." And so 13 different charges. And there you have it. So, so people behaving badly.
Yeah, and what planet is this all right?
Well, absolutely. Well, this is Prison Planet. You know, we volunteer to come here. I'm not 100% sure why. But Florida man butchers woman 77 years old who let him stay in her house to get back on his feet. She was doing her good deed, and he butchered her because God told him to. And so he was 31, and Lucy Reed was 77, and he stabbed her several times in the head with a butcher knife in front of her husband. Is what they're saying, authorities are saying, is an attack without any provocation whatsoever. Yeah, well, sometimes when you are on the street and homeless, there might be some mental conditions involved, to say the least. The stabbing took place while they were at home watching television in the living room, and he entered the home and allegedly began started stabbing her without any warning whatsoever. When the husband asked why he did that, he said, "God told me to." Yeah,
I would say that. Okay, I would say this. Okay, let's put it this way. Not only did one flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Yeah, one is in the cuckoo's nest. Yes, yes. All right. Yeah. So yeah, always a good round of stories. Anything else that really floated your boat?
It was the story about. It was about the. The flight nurse who basically sued the health thing, and basically it didn't go too well on that one.
Oh, I'll have to look for that. I don't see that one here, but I will look for that. We will also be able to discuss a number of things, including a woman who took 20 years to get a diagnosis, and a mother who beat her son to death because she didn't do his chores. Plenty from which to choose, not to mention that eggs are getting more expensive, but some leads on cheap eggs. Now, I don't know about you, but cheap and eggs don't go in the same sentence in my mind.
Yeah, you start thinking, is it safe?
Well, right. And there's an essential grocery item in Michigan that is said to going to escalate tremendously. I haven't read yet why it's going to skyrocket in Michigan, but we will tackle that on our next call.
Yes, because that's why I sent a bunch, and I said, I'm not, okay, there's several that a bunch of ones that I left in the draft thing. Way they can go for next week.
All right. Good deal. Well, good to talk to you. Thanks for the stories. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. You take care. And hopefully there's no more cramp.
Yeah, I hope not. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, I hope it was a cramp. I can't imagine, 4.5 hour cramp or whatever it was. Yeah. So, yeah, because I got off the air at 1 a.m., and that was Central Time, midnight my time, and literally till 5:30 in the morning, just in agony. All right, Ruth and Gurney, welcome to WGN Radio. All right, Ruth has left us. Ruth has left the building. Well, that's all right, because we have Eduardo in Tampa. So, Eduardo, what's up tonight?
Yeah, so the lump on my right knee.
Yes,
so
you went to the doctor.
Florida,
what did he say?
Orthopedic.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got lied down, and they poked me 3 times, and it's so much better now, but I'm going to have the doctor take a look, because my mother has the same doctor. She's got to go and do an appointment tomorrow, and I'm going to show this to her, see what she thinks.
Well, what did they say? Did they diagnose it?
Oh, yeah.
What they say? What
we
they
were talking
say?
About last week, the bursitis.
Okay, yeah. So it is the bursitis. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's significantly much better.
Good.
I left a Band-Aid on there. And
did they give you like a shot of cortisone or something?
Yeah, they froze it.
Yeah.
Before they poked me.
Yeah.
Like 3 times.
Yeah.
All in different areas.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All
the
right.
Last one was really hurt a little bit more than the other times, but
yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad I went in and got this taken care of.
Good, good. So is the prognosis that you will have a full recovery and this will be gone?
Yeah. I mean, the doctor says, if for some reason this thing would grow back again, obviously don't hesitate to, call and make an appointment so you can come back in. Yeah.
All right. Good.
Yeah, but so far, so good. Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, thank you for the report. I appreciate it. And hopefully
I'm glad
only
it
good.
Out okay,
yes,
yeah.
I am too. And I told you I didn't think it would be a big deal, but yeah, it's good to know for sure.
Yeah, I had it for a while since last year, but I only felt it when I was like kneeling down, like looking underneath the bed. But there was no pain, swelling.
Right. Well, bursitis is interesting. All right. Well, good deal. Hopefully that is the absolute end of it.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to mention. I saw this on. CBS Morning Sunday, Susan LaPaz.
Don't know.
Suzanne Celeste LaPaz.
Don't Don't know.
She worked with Barry Gordy.
Okay.
Yeah. So they had a profile on her, so she worked with the different Motown acts there.
Okay.
So it was a nice story that they ran.
Yeah.
I have never heard of her before, so.
Yeah, didn't she do, if it's the person I'm thinking of, didn't she do, like, some television stuff for them and maybe some movie stuff? I mean.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, and I think she got in there because she was friends with one of the Supremes. So,
You're
yeah.
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't mention
okay.
that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, good. Well, she's not all that old. She was born in the mid-40s, so she'd be in her mid-70s right about now. So, good. Glad she's still with us.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh, right. And nothing yet on the job, although I noticed the position is still open, so I don't know what's going on.
I don't know.
I get her voicemail, so it's been a while since I talked to her.
Yeah, I really wonder. I wish we knew. I'd love to know what is it, because it sure seemed to me like you were perfect for that.
Yeah, especially since I speak Spanish.
Well, right.
But, you know, USF is right next to them, University of South Florida.
Right.
So, I don't know. Maybe they got a thing for those people, those young people. So, who knows?
Yeah.
Like a previous caller said about the old-timers having a hard time getting in.
I sure hope that's not it. But I'd love to call her and say, all right, now what's the deal? What's wrong with Eduardo?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, so hopefully it'll work out. But, yeah. I'll call back later.
Okay, good. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay.
All right,
bye-bye.
Good deal. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that was Brian and Joliet who wanted to hear it. And what a fine song it is. Yeah, Ruby Andrews, Casanova, Your Playing Days Are Over, 1967 on Zodiac. And if you can't find it, remember she spelled Casanova wrong, Casonova, Casanova. All right, so yeah, good for Ruby Andrews, who became, of course, quite the Northern Soul hit, to say the least. But of everything, of course, Casanova still the absolute best. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. We have Laura in Des Plaines. What's going on tonight, Laura?
Hey, it's been a while since I talked to you besides winning all those prizes.
Yeah.
You know, I was supposed to be on the transplant list. They tested every body part of mine. They uh-huh. interviewed my family. They uh-huh. sent me to therapy. Everything that you can imagine, uh-huh. I had to get tested.
Right.
Just about to go on the list, they told me I had breast cancer.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no. How long ago was this?
Right around Halloween.
Oh, God. And was it in situ or had it spread?
It's a little bit in the top of my arms. But here's the thing, Raleigh. I'm not going to question the power of prayer, but it's ridiculous. I went to 1.5 treatments. I went back for another biopsy. The doctor said, who never saw me before. He's looking at the x-ray. He's looking at my arm. He's looking at different body parts. He's saying, are you sure that I have the right x-ray here? Is this the right patient? He called the surgeon down. It's disappearing.
That's great. That is great. No, that is the power of prayer. Hang on a minute, Laura. Don't go away. We got the news, and I want to talk more about this. Stay right where you are.
Okay.
All right. So, Yeah, well, you know, that doesn't surprise me in the least, but I'm sure the doctors are all shook up about that. So we'll find out about that and what else is going on with the possible transplant. All right. So we'll get back to Laura. We got Boyer in Nashville, and we've got room for you, too, next hour, another hour right here on WGN Radio.
Blind man standing on the corner. Crying out the blues. He said, I don't want a dollar. And don't you give me a dime. Until you bring back that little girl of mine. I can't let go. I'm hooked and I can't let her go. People try to tell me to stop crying and find me someone new, because when the good Lord, he made one woman, hallelujah, don't you know he made two? But I can't let this one go.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Little Milton, Blind Man, a flip side, 1964 on Checker, and Dave in Chicago wanted to hear it, a fine choice. 888-876-5593, and we're talking to Laura in Des Plaines. Yes, the power of prayer indeed. So now that you've had the good news about the breast, I assume you've had some follow-up and there's just no recurrence and nothing's there. Is that the case?
Well, it's disappearing. The one place where it was spreading, it all backtracked.
Okay.
So I still have to do some more treatments, but it is less. It's a silly how fast it's going away.
That's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. You mentioned it's in your arm, so I assume it was also in your lymph nodes to some degree.
Yeah, but it's not there anymore.
That's wonderful.
Really, I'm telling you, we're talking about like just a couple of treatments, not even strong ones.
Now, with that in mind, if we're just talking about the initial site, can it just be excised? Can you have it cut out?
My blood is very bad because of my liver.
Okay.
And they said, you're going to survive the cancer, but
right.
I don't know if we should take the chance.
Okay. Yeah. No, I got that. And, of course, that's...
And as far as a transplant
right.
goes, I can't go back on the list. So I'm 5 years cancer free.
5 years? Oh no.
Yeah. Well, they're gonna petition for, you know, loophole somewhere.
Oh man, five years. Oh jeez.
It's a long time.
It is a very long time. And in the meantime, what can they do? A, to make you comfortable, and B, hopefully to halt the progression of liver disease.
Well, I've taken up a little bit more exercise.
Good.
I drink a lot of green things.
Okay, and a lot of water, right?
yeah, pomegranate juice okay. and all these things.
All right.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I take a lot of water pills.
Okay, diuretics, yeah, like hydrochlorothiazide,
yeah.
those kind of things, okay.
Those kind of things, yeah.
Yep.
And they said that it's holding its own.
Good.
Yeah.
So in terms of other than the bother of really having to watch what you're eating and what you're doing, how is it affecting your life? Are you very fatigued? Is it something that's really showing?
I sleep a lot more than I want to.
Okay.
And I bleed a lot.
Oh, sure.
And I'm talking about, like, my fingernails, my ears, my gums.
Yeah.
It's because it's so watery.
Right, of course. No.
Yeah.
Well,
I do feel good. Honestly, I do feel good.
That's what's important. And the sleep is the best thing you can do for your body. The restorative power of sleep is unbelievable. So it's right up there with prayer. So, yeah, I would do that. Well, it sounds like it's just a small fork in the road. And with any luck, the 5 years will pass quickly. And who knows, maybe by then your scores will be that you don't even need it.
Like you said, I'm fine wherever I end up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really am.
Yeah.
Can I say something on a lighter note, though?
Yes.
When I started listening to your show, I didn't know the first thing about doo-wop. I was raised on old country. My parents took me to all the concerts, Merle Haggard, you know, Conway and Loretta and everything. And I have really grown an appreciation for doo-wop. And when people request things like Sergeant Pappy,
yeah,
I look up those songs and I listen to them on my own, and I'm liking them.
Good.
Just so you know.
Yeah, I'm delighted to hear it. Yeah. Yeah, like tonight when Evelyn requested Can't Shake It, the Etta James record, I thought, that's great. Almost nobody knows that record. I'll be happy to play it.
Yeah, I really enjoy them. And this Fran and Gary are like encyclopedias.
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got to get caught up.
Yes,
a little bit.
Keep me posted. And yes, the power of prayers. We will keep you in our prayers as well, Laura. And keep me posted on how it's going.
Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Likewise. Yeah, that's great news. But what a jolt when you think, yeah, I'm right on the list. And then, oh, well, yeah, well. But, you know, sometimes things are just meant to happen that way. Boyer in Nashville, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Boyer. I'm going to believe in, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Yeah, I'm going to believe in total healing for Laura.
Good.
I was, I had arthritis in my foot a few years ago, diagnosed by doctor. I went home that afternoon, prayed over it. I spoke to the arthritis in my foot. I commanded it to be gone in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks later, it was gone.
That's great.
And it has been zero pain for 2 years.
That is a wonderful story.
So I just tell Laura, I believe in her total healing.
Yes.
So I'm a big vinyl person. I've got a great vinyl system, JBLs. They're new. They're not old and cranky. I do have a 40-year-old Techniques turntable, but with I bought like a $400 cartridge for it.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm big into vinyl.
Good.
I was hoping you could talk a little bit about in the 1960s, when record companies were still doing mono records, and they started coming up with all these weird names for their approaches to mono. So right now in front of me is a Verve record, Anita O'Day, 1960. Their little branding is called a Panoramic True High Fidelity Record.
Okay.
And RCA back then, their thing was called Dynagroove.
Yes, absolutely.
And they did bring in some computer stuff to it.
Right.
And I have right here, I have about a 1960 George Shearing mono record. And what they call it is it's a long playing microgroove record.
Okay.
So I don't know if you're familiar with all these weird names and techniques for mono before things went stereo.
Yeah, Dynaflex, Dynagroove, all of that, of course. Everybody had, but with Dynaflex, I think they were talking more of the quality of the vinyl than they were of anything else. Because remember, of course, if you go back to anything that's 78, they're shellac and they'll break, just as soon as look at you. So and when RCA went stereo, they did that living stereo. And first they
Have a living stereo.
Right. And first they put it on those four-track reel-to-reel tapes.
And it sounds very good. I have some classical that is a living stereo, and the fidelity is amazing.
Yeah.
They used 35-millimeter meter movie tape, I believe, and somehow did the sound on that.
I think
different approach.
Yeah, there were a lot of different techniques. And, you know, this is one of the problems with all of the reissues. Like, originally, when there were multi-tracks, it was meant as reference. They were going to be mixed to mono. And then you had all these CD people and, you know, remastered, oh, God, a word from hell, where they didn't understand how to combine it for the, mono mix and didn't want to. But the bottom line, when you're mixing mono, you only want to have one speaker there, and you want to be listening to that whole mix in mono. And if you've got any stereo equipment that you are monoing out, make sure that you don't have phase problems. So those were some of the big things. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people, if they have stereos out there, they may not know if their speakers are in phase or not in phase.
Right.
But my mono's, I have a stereo, but the mono, when I sit between the speakers, the mono, in some cases, to me, sounds better than stereo.
I agree.
It just sounds incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's one thing I'm with Phil Spector on, back to mono. Absolutely.
Anyway, I just wanted to chit-chat about that, and maybe somebody out there knows more than us, and they can chime in.
Well, they were marketing tools more than anything. Of course, everybody had their little techniques, so they were tweaking it and what they were doing it as far as that goes. But I don't know that there's a huge amount of difference, and I can't think of any label where I'd say their mono stuff is better than anybody else's mono stuff.
I don't. You know, the Beatles' Revolver album was recorded in mono originally.
Uh huh.
And then I think they did a stereo version, and then the Revolver came out 2 or 3 years ago, and the reissue was a mono. So you could buy a stereo and a mono, and everybody's like, get the mono.
Absolutely.
I need to buy that.
Don't forget the highest and phi.
What?
Don't forget the highest and phi.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Right.
What was that?
Oh, John's laughing. He sees some of my 45s and Demon Records, what it says on it, the highest and phi.
I do have a big stack of 45s. They're fun.
Yeah. And yeah, the Revolver was a mono recording, and I guess that 2014 re-release was remastered from the original analog tapes, but have you A-B'd it to Revolver when it was first released to see if they actually got it right?
I don't know. I think it's a handful of the Beatles' original albums were in mono.
Yeah.
And I
absolutely prefer that, you betcha. But by the time you get to the Revolver, I no longer prefer the Beatles. But yes, I understand
there
exactly.
Go.
All right, good to talk to you. Thanks. Call me again, Boyer.
I want to sign off. Thank you so much.
Okay, good deal. Appreciate it. 888-876-5593. That album, Revolver, it does have some really good sound. All right, so anyway, might not like the songs, but it's got some good sound. All right, 888-876-5593. Ruth called back. Sergeant Pappy has a request. I know it's going to be good. Sherry in Naperville and Jerry in Minnesota, and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
We'll be right back.
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. Junior Walker and the All-Stars on Soul, 1965. Cleo's Back. That's the flip side to Shake and Finger Pop. And Harvey Fuqua produced that. And that was Jim in New Hampshire who had requested it a couple weeks ago, and I hope he heard it. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Sergeant Pappy's got a request. I love that. What do you want to hear?
Hey, okay. How you doing there, Raleigh?
All right. How about you?
Well, we got to keep this doo-wop after dark going on here, I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
And it's, good to hear, and it's good to hear we got a new fan out there now, too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll have to add her to my daily prayer list, too, and pray for her.
So what? Thank you. What do you want to hear?
Can We Be Sweethearts by the Cleftones?
Okay.
Darling, How Long by the Heartbeat.
Okay.
Tell Me Dear by the Five Fatons.
Okay.
And Standing Alone by the Temptations.
Oh, all right. All right. You betcha. I'll do it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. You take care now.
All right. You too.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Good choices. 888-876-5593. And Jerry in Minnesota, welcome to WGN Radio. Jerry, are you still with us? There you are. Okay, so
yes.
I lost you there for a minute. There you are.
I like mono as well,
yeah,
as compared to stereo. And I remember reading in the Satanic Bible that the author of that book was mentioning that stereo he thought was a scam, you know.
I love it. Well, if he thought that was a scam, I'd hate to think of what he thought of quad.
Well, yeah. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So I decided to kind of, maybe I'll read a little more into the book. I kind of thumbed through it and saw that. And he made a good point there. I mean, it was the first time I saw it because people, when I grew up, they were hung up on speakers and all this other stuff. And I never... You know, I could listen to a transistor radio and enjoy it. And I've got this handheld one, too, that's pretty good. Now, I've got the CC Pocket, which is very practical, you know, because you got the presets on the FM and the AM 5 each. And it's easy. It's fairly simple.
Yeah.
And so I use that. And I also got the CC, the Sea Crane, what the Pro... It's got the light up where you could put the light. So you're in the dark and you want to tune the channels around the frequencies. It's got the light, which I like.
Okay. Is it the EP Pro?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, but this one I got from Hammacher Schlemmer is a tiny radio that fits in the palm of your hand. It's so lightweight. And it's a little too geeky for my liking because it's got like PC function and, you know, a couple other things. It's just got a little too much, you know, so it doesn't simplify enough when you're kind of navigating a little bit. But it's a great radio. It's just unbelievable how good that speaker is for how tiny that radio is. And it's got this tiny little antenna, dipole antenna that you can put out there.
Yeah.
So I usually like carrying that around because... It's sometimes I'll go back to the old school radio listening.
Right.
Because the smartphone, you know, is a little bit, it takes a little bit longer sometimes, you know, when you're going to iHeart and whatever. And that funny thing that you call Odyssey. What do you call Odyssey?
Oh, Audacity. Yeah.
Yeah, Audacity. Yeah, I knew you had a funny name for it. Yeah. You know, you were a longtime DXer as I've been, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And did you spend a lot, how patient were you? Like if you're navigating through, say, the AM frequencies and you're going from station to station, you're tuning it along. Were you patient with the signal coming in and fading in and out kind of staying with it?
Absolutely. In fact, we always used to laugh that I thought it was some kind of a conspiracy. It would always fade out when they were giving me the call letters. And that just drove me crazy because, of course, on the old slide rule dial radios, you weren't sure where you were. And so, you know, here it is. Here it comes time for the station ID, and it's faded out completely. The other thing I used to like to do, I was quite patient, but also, you know, some frequencies, depending upon how you turned them that radio, you would get completely different stations. And on some frequencies, like 800, you could either get Lesser Antilles, Radio Bonaire, or you could get X-Rock, or you could get CKLW. And it was just wonderful when you were in that magic spot where you could get all three, depending on how that radio was, posted.
Now, that did happen in my case with the 680 frequency, CJOB in Winnipeg.
Right.
And then if you turn the radio a different direction,
right,
just every once in a blue moon, I could actually get KNBR in San Francisco.
Right, because they were also a 50,000 watt at night. So
But you're not supposed to get that from where, in the Midwest here because of the mountain ranges.
Well, yes and no. See, the thing is, mountain ranges aside, remember, you're not, when AM, it's not line of sight. And so, therefore, the ionosphere layer can do just about anything. What you really want to know when you see those 50 kilowatts at night is you want to know how directional are they. You know, you can have something that claims it's got 50,000 watts, and it does, but it's got six towers, and, it's a pencil-thin array. So, you'd be surprised. And obviously, you probably are surprised if you did that, what you got. And, of course, you'd get it one night. You try to get it the next night, forget about it.
Well, here's one for you to consider. And that's why I asked about how patient are you, because I would go to, say, KDKA 1020, Pittsburgh.
Right.
And for some reason, on that 1020 frequency, when you were getting the static and it was fading in and out a little bit, I would hear the most beautiful, haunting, non-man-made noises, and I'm sure that there are some top-of-the-line musicians, instrumentalists, like Henry Mancini, maybe, or possibly Bernard Herrmann, or Angelo Badalamenti, or Lalo Schifrin, or...
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. I just realized we're in the middle of blowing the news, so stay right where you are, and we'll pick it up there. All right.
Sure.
1020 was interesting. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
My mother told me before she passed away, said, son, when I'm gone, don't forget to pray, 'cause there'll be hard times. Hard times, oh yeah. Who knows better than I? Well, I soon found out just what she meant when I had to pawn my clothes just to pay my rent. Talking about hard times, hard times, oh yeah, yeah. Who knows a world better than I?
WGN Radio. Dave in Chicago wanted to hear Hard Times, Ray Charles. Hard Times, No One Knows Better Than I. 1961 on Atlantic. And it's interesting, they had that in the can for years, but after Ray Charles left Atlantic, went to AMPAR, ABC Paramount, at that point, Atlantic started to think, well, we got to release whatever we got in the vaults here. And in 61, that was Hard Times. All right, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. We're talking to Jerry in Minnesota about AM propagation. So, 1020, here you are. And back then, of course, that was it at night. That's before Roswell in Los Angeles got any nighttime coverage at all. So 1020 was all KDKA all the time.
It was. And I used to listen to doo-wop and Dougie Hirth.
Oh, yeah.
The late Doug Hirth, who he was into that kind of music. He would moonlight on, like, Saturday nights at a smaller station in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
So he could do his old DJ stuff with the 50s music.
Yes, and all those Pittsburgh local groups were just so wonderful.
Oh, yes. And he would have conversations on the talk side on KDK and WTAE, I'm sure, as well. But I only picked up KDK, and he was on there in the mid-80s for a period. He would do trivia shows and trivia roundtables and so forth. But he would have somebody like the forensic pathologist, Allegheny County Coroner, the late Dr. Cyril Wecht, to discuss the JFK assassination, which still goes on to this day, some of those discussions, not as much as it did then. But and it would fade in and out, and I would be picking it up, and I would hear this. And it seemed to match that type of discussion because, you know, here comes this haunting music, almost instrumental stuff out of nowhere, and it was all part of the ionosphere.
Oh, that's neat. That's neat.
And it's weird because I never heard anybody else talk about this, but it was on that frequency that it would happen from time to time. And it was kind of wonderful to listen to that. It was a unique experience.
That was the beauty.
I mentioned Angelo Badalamenti, who collaborated with David Lynch, who passed away recently.
Last week.
I guess you would call it avant-garde or abstract or what do they call Fellini? What do they call him?
You got me. You'd have to talk to John. I've seen five movies in my life.
I think abstract expressionism, called it.
But yeah, I was aware of David Lynch because he was involved with the TM movement, and John had done some videos for them.
Oh yeah, yeah, Transcendental Meditation, and he's done a lot of stuff on YouTube on that, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
But you played Ketty Lester, Love Letters.
Yes, absolutely. It was a request. I sure did.
And that was part of the music that was in, I believe, Blue Velvet, which was one of his big masterpieces, and also Roy Orbison's In Dreams. And so he would have this music, and also Blue Velvet, I think the Bobby Vinton version.
Oh, well, if you have
which went to number one on the charts, I think, just before the JFK assassination.
Yeah.
So that was probably from some of his powerful memories, you know, the music. So when you play Love Letters by Ketty Lester, all I'm thinking about are the scenes from that movie.
Wow.
When that song was playing. And Roy Orbison's In Dreams, it gives it a totally different spin when you get, say, some iconic piece of film. And I know you're not visual, so sorry about this.
It's okay.
But, so that's kind of interesting in those memories, you know, when music kind of integrates.
Absolutely. It brings back things like it was yesterday, obviously. Interestingly, if I was going to do Blue Velvet, I would have played the Clovers version. But, of course, it's a pop standard, to say the least. It was, a lot of people covered that. But Tony Bennett, I think, did the first version, believe it or not. But the Clovers, man, they just nailed it.
Oh, you should play that one of these nights so I can get familiar with that.
Okay, I will. Arthur Prysock covered it, too, which was kind of nice. But, yeah, I'll play the Clovers, you betcha. Yeah,
So what kind of music does Raleigh James... Like what song does Raleigh James like that we would be surprised that you would like?
Oh no,
that's sort of off your beaten path.
Right, I do that often. We do that when we do the Guilty Pleasures, Alice in Wonderland by Neil Sedaka. Love that record. There you go.
But there's nothing to feel guilty about.
Oh, it's a little Wimpy White record like nothing else. But I just love that song and a lot of the Snuff Garrett stuff. The Night Has a Thousand Eyes, Bobby V. Yes, absolutely. I thought Snuff Garrett was a god.
I'm looking for Raleigh James to say something like, "Well, I really liked this one record that was put out by AC/DC."
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't. But now that you say that, there's an Aerosmith record I love. Last Child.
Okay.
And I play it on KJ, and every time it comes on, I was like, well, this is, you know, this is off kilter, but I loved Last Child. Easy Street by the Edgar Winter Group. Loved that. Instant Replay, Dan Hartman. Thought it was a great record. There are some.
Well, what about your favorite instrumentalist? I mentioned the name Henry Mancini, and what do you say to that?
Yeah, all right. Probably not my favorite, but it's less the artist than the song. For instance, Joe Harnell's "Fly Me to the Moon," one of my favorite instrumentals. Of course, Percy Faith. You know, how can you not like "Summer Place"? You know, I mean, there are just some quintessential stuff. But a lot of instrumentals I like.
Do you ever play Sinatra?
Yeah, sometimes. Depends. You know, some of his earlier stuff, as long as it depends on what we're talking about. But yeah, absolutely, I do.
Yeah. So what's your favorite Sinatra?
I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. One for My Baby, maybe. But he's done that several times. This is one of the problems with Frank Sinatra, is you have to pick the recording of it that you like, because the production on it can be very different. But there's a ton of pop standards I like. You know, I used to have to play that stuff, of course, on the music that's left of your life. You know, that kind of stuff. So I know pop standards pretty well, but and there's a number of them that I like. Why can't I think of it? The guy who had a million divorces, and in fact, my favorite record by him, he claimed it paid for one of his divorces. Now, what the heck was it? It'll come to me. But
there's so many of them that had so many of those divorces.
This is notorious. It'll come to me. But
well, there was one guy I thought of him when I was, I thought of you when I was reading his Wikipedia. He was married to a woman, and he died early, but what was her name, though? I can't remember, but they were a married couple. He died early. He died about the same age that Bobby Darin died.
Okay.
But he died in, like, 1962, and I forget his name, though, but I was going to ask you if you ever heard of some of that stuff, though, too, but I can't think of either name.
Lil Darlin? By Count Basie, one of the all-time great instrumentals.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd listen to that any day of the week. But, why can't I think of this guy? He was so colorful, and he was so acerbic, too.
And what genre was he?
Oh, it's you know, pop standards and big bands.
Yeah.
Artie Shaw, Frenesy. There you go.
He got married a lot.
Yeah, that's it, Frenesy. And I loved Frenesy. He did not like it. He did not want to play it after a while. And he had said that, well, I paid for my divorce. Okay, then. You know. But yes, I loved Frenesy. I thought that was a great record. So there are a number of things like that I like.
What about Cher?
Actually, interestingly, that album that Snuff Garrett did with her, that Dark Lady album, there were a couple things on that I thought that were terrific. Miss Subway was just great. I loved that. And I Saw a Man Who Danced with His Wife. Great song. So, you know, so he wanted to do The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia on her, and Sonny refused.
Well, I've always liked Cher because, you know, she's honest and she's kind of interesting and she's sexy. But I always thought that when I listened to some of her music that she might be tone deaf, but there are a couple things that I do like.
Well, like I say, that Dark Lady album has some really nice cuts on it.
Ah.
So,
maybe you could play one of those as well.
Yeah, she was Miss Subway of 1952. I love that. There are absolutely some good stuff. But yeah, Artie Shaw. Yeah, I remember him. Very acerbic. Anyway, so there's several of that stuff. When the kid from New Orleans, whose name is escaping me, his father was the DA there, but he had done a lot of pop standards, and I thought his stuff was just
great. Harry Connick?
Yes, Harry Connick Jr. Yes, I thought some of his stuff was, just great. So, sure.
What do you think of Michael Bublé?
Not a fan.
Right.
You know, with me, though, remember, it's all about the song and the production, not the artist. For instance, like Whitney Houston, I like one record by her, Saving My Love for You. I thought that was great. Everything else, nails on a chalkboard, keep me away. So it's not about the artist. It's mostly about the production and the song.
I like that by her, too, as well. I thought that, I guess that was her best.
Yeah, it was her number one record, and Clive Davis didn't want to release it. So just goes,
really?
Yeah, yeah. He lost a bet and had to release it.
Well, maybe Clive was getting past his prime.
Well, Clive's another case.
Maybe you didn't like him at any time. I don't know.
But I worked for CBS Records.
I read Clive Davis's autobiography.
Yeah.
I compared myself to him in terms of our taste in music. You know, he understood what a hook was. I guess my taste would be kind of deplorably populist, you know, in terms of my music listening. Certainly not something that you would identify with or want to identify with too much.
Well, Clive was interesting, of course, because he was an attorney at CBS, and they had to oust Mitch Miller. They just had to. And when they did in 65, they brought Goddard Lieberson back to be president for a while, and then they elevated Clive. So, just getting rid of Mitch Miller was the absolute best thing that ever happened to Columbia Records.
Mm, interesting. Yeah. I know Clive Davis, he might have discovered Barry Manilow, I'm not sure. But he wrote about him in his book, I know that.
Yeah, on Arista. Yeah, absolutely. And that was of course later. But and while
Bert
I was
Bacharach and Hal David.
While I was at Columbia. Some of that stuff is excellent. Absolutely excellent. But there again, it's song by song by song.
Yeah. I read Bacharach's biography too, and then I also I've listened to some of the interviews of his ex-wife, Angie Dickinson, who's still with us.
I'll tell you, the one to really look for is look at the stuff from what was her name, the Carol Bayer Sager, that marriage. Ooh, she has some very interesting things to say.
Oh, that would be interesting reading if there was a biography involved.
Oh, I'm sure that she's been vocal about that, but I only knew Burt Bacharach because, believe it or not, my adopted mother was close to his father, Burt Sr., who spelled it a different way. They worked together in the Empire State Building. In fact, Burt was in it the day that the plane hit it, that Saturday.
Oh, you mean...
Senior.
You mean the Trade Center?
No, it was Empire State Building. It was absolutely... we're talking about the 40s when that plane went into the... I think it was the 40s. Could have been the late 30s, but I think it was the early 40s.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and so he ran down the steps, like 20 floors or so. But, but anyway...
Because that was built in, like, 1939, was it, or was it earlier?
That was very early, but there was 1945. I just looked it up to see what year. It was 1945 that the plane hit, and it was a Saturday, I know, and people thought, because, the war was still going on, people thought they were bombed. But, so anyway, that was his father, and he was a very nice guy.
Bacharach, according to Angie Dickinson, was somebody who probably never, and she would know because she was married to him. She said he shouldn't have gotten married at all.
Yeah, well, that would fit. That would absolutely fit. And, I won't tell tales out of school, but I'd heard that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But she was one of my favorites, Angie Dickinson, that's for sure.
JFK's too. Yes, indeed.
There's always the rumors.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Bill Clinton today and thinking that the reason why that he got involved with Monica Lewinsky was really not as much that he was horny as much as he wanted to be like his idol JFK.
Oh, God. All right. All right. Well,
isn't that strange?
Now we've gone way far afield, but that's all right. Although she's doing pretty well, from what I understand, that's good for her. Empire State Building, 1930, built in the 30s, and it opened in 31.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Got that now. And yeah. Andy Warhol did a thing on the Empire State Building. We did a little film on like one of those 8-hour films where he just holds a camera to it, and it's like 8 hours of watching the Empire State Building with the lights eventually going off in different rooms, and sort of more abstract art, I guess, is what you would call it. But that's pretty much my knowledge of the Empire State Building. It's 1931 it was, and then I didn't know there was a plane that went into it.
Oh, yeah, 1945. You can read about that sometime. It was a big mess. And, you know, of course, used to be anybody wanted to go to the roof, you had to change elevators a few times to get there. I don't know how it is now. But so anyway, that's the
did
deal.
Do you have a pilot's license?
I'm only laughing because I couldn't even do ATC. I don't have the vision. I can't see.
Oh.
So no. No one would give me. I wanted to, but they told me right away that no.
You've drove a million miles.
I have driven a million miles. I don't drive nearly as much now, but I was always never had an accident in forward. Don't ask about reverse. But in any event,
wow.
I was very, very careful because I always understood what my limitations were. So, no.
Same here.
Never came
Same
close
here. That,
to...
Same here. That kept me out of trouble.
Never came close to an accident in forward anyway. All right. So I think you pretty much ended the show. I'll talk to you later.
Ah.
All right.
That was my goal.
Yeah. Oh, you've done it. Thanks. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Raleigh.
All right. Yeah, because I think we have to take care of business. And then if I have a moment, I'll find out what Mike's request is. And I think Sherry's got one, too. All right. And that'll be it on WGN Radio.